Hey, reading friends, I have to tell you, it's coming up. It's coming up. The evening of April 28th, we will be hosting Book Fair Weekend. Woo! That means, guys, that we get to merge our In Real Life book club that you know we love with you, our Book Fair community, who we love. So, all of our favorite people will be coming together in my living room to discuss The Island of Sea Women. It was a great book. I know you all loved it. You've all told me separately, or many of you. I cannot wait for us to get together over some Korean food that we will have catered in and visit and talk about this great book. There is a registration link actually up on our Facebook page or pinned at the top of the group. So what you're going to need to do is you're going to need to go on, hunt up that link. We're going to make it really easy for you to find and let us know you're coming. Because y'all, I got to order food.
And then Saturday, we are going to kick off around 9 a.m. We are going to meet up and we are going to drive to St. Pete. Who saw my video on Facebook with me previewing and Instagram? Previewing where we are going, the library restaurant in St. Pete. It is built to be themed like a famous Victorian library. I don't remember what old rich person it's themed after, but it's very cool. And it looks like a big Victorian library. And we are going to sit there and the food is amazing. It's so good. So we are going to eat brunch at the library restaurant. Then we are all going to drive to a new and used bookstore close by in St. Pete, and we are going to shop and look at books, new and used, which is always exciting. And then we are going to drive a short distance to the downtown area of St. Petersburg, which is this adorable little cute downtown. We are going to park in a cute little parking garage and walk around the corner to a cute little coffee and tea shop. Anyone can get a coffee or tea if they want to. And then we're going to walk 2 to 3 blocks down to this park that is right on the bay. Huge overhanging trees. We're going to bring picnic blankets and chairs. And we are going to sit under the shade of the trees in the wind off the bay and look at the water. And we are going to discuss books, read each other maybe some poetry or passages from our favorite literature. And we are going to have such a wonderful time. You may be asking, how much does this event cost, Tricia? Well, the good news is it is free. We are not charging for the event. We wanted our inaugural event to just be an open invitation. Come one, come all. We are going to be asking everyone to chip in for the Korean food we're ordering on Friday night. The exact price will be forthcoming. And then you could order whatever you want at the restaurant. You can look at the menu online. And if you would like to buy a book while we're out or a coffee or tea while we're out, that is totally up to you. But those are the little costs associated, but we are not charging for the event. So we are just going to have a great time being together. We hope that as many of you as possible can come to the first live event, Book Fair Weekend, April 28th and 29th. Welcome to Book Fair. We help thoughtful women find wholesome, life-affirming books for themselves and their families.
Are you tired of picking up the latest new release and finding it full of junk you don't want in your life? You are in the right place.
This show shares curated content and we do it together within a fun, book-loving community. So pull up a chair at the table and join the feast.
The Little Man Who Wasn't There by Hughes Mearns. As I was going up the stair, I met a man who wasn't there. He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd stay away. Ooey Gooey, author unknown. Ooey Gooey was a worm. A mighty worm was he. He stepped upon the railroad tracks. The train he did not see. Ooey Gooey.
That's a morning basket poem right there. Yes.
Welcome to Poetry Tea Time, where towards the end of this episode, we will have a Poetry Tea Time live and share our poems together. Welcome. So glad you're here for this episode.
April is, after all, Poetry Month.
And this is our second annual Poetry Month episode. go back and listen to episode 17, where we talk about poetry there as well. And between that one and this one, you have a very nice introduction to how to read it and some really good resources for you. So I would like to know, first of all, what in the last year has been your experience since we recorded episode 17 with poetry and maybe even poetry versus fiction? How does it compare?
I will say I have been warming to poetry. I, you know, talked about last time that it's not typically my thing. And I've joked about a little bit since then that I've even bought a couple of poetry books and set them out and then they just sit there. But I have been warming to it and enjoying it more and finding myself more likely to pick up one of these little poetry books and maybe read a little bit. I did finish reading my whole poetry collection that I had chosen by the end of the year. It was a book called The Spiritual Poems of Rumi. And then I asked for Christmas for this next book, The Love Poems of Rumi. And I'm going to share one of these later. So I have been reading some Rumi. And I have been in my new goal of commonplacing. I sometimes use the app called Insight Timer. It is a meditation app that I really love. And some of the meditation teachers will open or close a meditation with a poem. And there are a couple of them that I found that I really like that I have like researched and found and written down in my commonplace book, which is a big step for me. So I'm getting more into it.
Look at you go. I love it.
Commonplacing poetry, Trisha, that's huge.
I know. Look at me grow.
Well, I don't know that I'm doing it any differently, but I think I'm probably just purposing to read poetry more often. I liked the way I interacted with poetry already. It's just something I would sometimes forget about, and I would go a long time without. And so on each trip to the library, I either know a specific book that I want to grab, or I'll pick a random one. And sometimes I don't like it. And sometimes I do. And sometimes I'll go through, and I think I said last time, I never read them in order at all. I have no idea why. I just open the book and then I go, yeah, or nah. And then I just pick to another place. It's like spirit-led poem reading. I'm joking. But anyway, that is how I approach poetry. And I always like that, but I am just trying to remember to do it more. And so I have two new to me, not new to the world, obviously, poets to share today later on. And that's because I have been, let's do it more. You really like this.
I love that, picking up a new book every time you go to the library. That's so smart. It's so many things that never occur to you. I have never thought of getting a poetry book from the library.
Well, then let me share this. There are these little collections. I'm going to have reading glasses to read what's in my very hands. Library Pocket Poets and their collections. So this one is Kipling and this one is Blake. And they were sitting side by side and I didn't have anybody on my list today. So I grabbed them both and I have kept them about 2 months. They just keep renewing them, which is so nice of them. Oh, I've kept them longer than 2 months, actually.
Those are great. That's a bustle
book. Yes. Right. They're so tiny. I thought that too. But just to say, Trisha, that they have a bunch and sometimes that someone else has grouped selections together of maybe that person's most notable work. So it's a great way to get a taste of a few different people.
Love it.
So I haven't been reading as much poetry. One, it's been a big health year since the last episode, since the last April. And so I haven't been doing as much morning time kinds of things with my kids for a little while, which is where I read the most poetry. So, but we are getting back to that. And I'm very excited because reading through poems for the purposes of sharing them for this episode, I had so much fun. I enjoyed it so much. I was like, oh my goodness, we've got to have a poetry tea time at home this month. But I will say, thinking about poetry, because in the last episode, we talked about what it is and why we love it. But since that episode, I was thinking about it is such a small package of meaning. Mm-hmm. Like with a novel, you have a lot of time to flesh out these big questions and connect to the great conversation. Well, these great poets and poems also ask these great questions and connect to the great conversation, but it is in such a compact art form that every little thing counts and points to the meaning. And I've just been a little bit bowled over with that lately. The placement of the words on a page, the placement of the words in a line, the arrangement of syllables or meter, the form, the spacing, the arrangement. When does the poet decide to break rules of that form? Everything points to the meaning. And it's, man, it's just got to be so, I'm just awed. It's like, it's hard. I'm so awed by a great poet, how they can do that.
Yeah, it's like, a truly different art form. I feel mm-hmm. like that you have to learn even to read.
Yeah. Yes. So that's a great segue. How can you read poetry if you're maybe new to reading poetry, or you're newer and you're like, I'm not comfortable with poetry yet. What are some tips for how to start or to restart reading poetry? So you guys chime into my list here. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Oh, I was like, out loud is the only way for me.
Yes.
I'm in a room by myself. I just have to, it doesn't make sense because the rhythm of it doesn't connect in my brain. But if I say it out loud, I'm like, oh, there it is.
I would say, just like we have talked about, how do you get into the classics? Or how do you read meatier books when you're not used to it? And we always say, read easier meaty books, which are usually categorized as for children. So reading Narnia, reading Heidi, reading Pinocchio, those are great ways to get into reading the classics. And then down the road, you'll be interested in Anna Karenina or the Iliad. So I would say the same thing for poetry. Start with quote unquote children's anthologies or poets and just have fun with it. Just experience the meter and the rhythm. Let it wash over you. Don't worry too much about what's all the deep meaning. How does this connect to the great conversation? It might come to you, but just let it wash over you. Understanding is overrated. I haven't quoted Andrew Kern in a while. Here you go. Understanding is overrated.
I would say just find something you like and just start there. And like for me, the first poetry that like occurred to me, like, I like this, is when they quote it in Jane Austen. So it's related to something I already like. And then I realized they're like quoting like the romantic poets. So I was at Barnes and Noble and I found this little pocketbook of romantic poetry and I picked it up and I was like, this is like something they would quote in a Jane Austen book. So this would be fun for me. And I do. I like it. Like I just like it. I don't know why, but I like it.
That's a great tip.
I don't think you have to know why. I think poetry can be pretentious sometimes. It doesn't have to be, in the same way that you don't have to go to an art museum and know who painted it and what time period they were in and what their techniques were. You can say, I like that. And that is enough.
Great point. Love it. So I wanted to just very briefly, I've got a couple others here. Strewing poetry books. Strewing is a term I heard Sarah McKenzie say on Read Aloud Revival podcast. And basically, you just put them out on coffee tables, on a kitchen table. You just strew them out. So you or your children will see them back and forth in the rooms. And you're like, oh yeah, I wonder, let me sit down for a minute and read a poem. So that's the idea.
I will say, I think whether or not strewing does any good has to do with people's personalities.
Probably. Yeah.
Like strewing doesn't work for me. I thought, I'm going to take this poetry book. I'm going to sit it here on the table in my living room. Sat there for 3 months. I never sat down and picked it up because I'm a very mission oriented, always really headed purposeful. Towards a goal, purposeful person. And I was never like, now is the moment where I'm going to sit, yay verily, in this chair and pick up this book of poetry. And so I never did. So I had to put it somewhere that was part of my habits already. Like I had
you
to
have
put
it stacked it.
Put it with. Yes, I have it stacked it. Thank you. I had to put it with my morning devotional things or on my bedside table. So I might be like, oh, I'm feeling a little bit like poetry before bed tonight. Like, maybe I'll read this poem to Brett before we go to sleep, before we start our Nero Wolf book, you know? So that's what worked for me.
That's great. And that's that cover's beautiful.
Yeah. So string may or may not work for you, but there may be someone in your family, even if it doesn't work for you. So maybe something to consider. We talked about this on episode 17, but memorizing poetry. If you just find one poem, maybe ooey gooey, just memorize it. Let that language become furniture in your mind, and it will change you. Even a poem like Ooey Gooey, which, by the way, kids love. Kids love it so much.
No, you're kidding. It's about a worm squished. Yeah, I'm definitely going to tell that tonight.
Another tip is to have someone else read poetry to you, such as an audiobook, or there's a lot out there on YouTube also. I want to just go through a quick list of anthologies that are really solid purchases or checking out from the library. And you guys chime in. Because you can go one of two ways. You can go with an anthology or get a book that's just poems from a single poet. So I want to talk about both. Anthologies. Searcy Institute put out 30 poems to memorize, in parentheses, before it's too late.
Like, does that mean before your brain doesn't remember things?
Maybe. I don't know.
I mean, it's a good point.
But it's a great collection. Also, Favorite Poems, Old and New, selected by Helen Ferris. This one's a pretty thick one. It is great for you and for kids. And then The Real Mother Goose. All right.
Classic.
You got littles? It's the one with black and white checkered on the front. And it has beautiful illustrations, not garish, like school hallway art. Mother Goose book. This is art. And it's beautiful. And that matters. So putting a plug in for that too. And then my favorite anthology is actually a memorization program. It's put out by IEW and Andrew Poudois. It's called Linguistic Development Through Poetry Memorization. Yeah. So it's a little pricey, at least when I bought it, it was many years ago. So you're paying for an anthology of poetry, but also a system for how to memorize it. So it's a little bit different, but it is the best collection of poems. It's my absolute favorite collection of poems. And the two that I'm going to share today during our poetry tea time are from it. So poets, I would recommend, especially if you're starting out either with kids or with yourself, and you want to start with children's classics, A Child's Garden of Verses, Robert Louis Stevenson's poetry, and the one illustrated by, I'm not going to say this correctly, but Gio Fujikawa is beautiful. A.A. Milne continued the world of Winnie the Pooh with two books of poems called When We Were Very Young and Now We Are Six. Isn't that just like a kid to think when he turned six? Wow. Five, I was a baby.
It's my favorite when a like six-year-old says when I was little. Like, yeah. It is my favorite. And they all do it. I mean.
Yeah. Emily Dickinson, You Can't Go Wrong. Christina Rossetti, You Can't Go Wrong. And Hilaire Belloc. Okay, he has poems such as Rebecca, Who Slammed Doors for Fun and Perished Miserably.
I'm sorry. Is that about me when I was a child?
And Matilda, Who Told Lies and Was Burned to Death. What? They're hilarious. Highly recommend. And one other recommendation. Cottage Press Classics puts out poetry readers. I don't know how many volumes they have, but each of them has three poets that they focus on. It gives you a biography and then several of their best known works. And then it ends with several sonnets from Shakespeare. So it's a really wonderful collection. So those are some great poets you can get started with, and that any library will likely have a book of poems by one of those poets. Okay, so let's talk about poetry tea time. Do y'all have any experience with poetry tea time before, Elizabeth or Trisha?
Just like by myself when I'm drinking tea and reading poetry. But never has it been named poetry tea time. So I've been doing it wrong.
Well, I am going to go through four steps and a bonus fifth step with this. Because that's how I roll.
Classic.
And the first step is do what works. Do what works. In other words, there's not rules. There's guidelines. There's suggestions. But do what works for you. Okay. Basically, poetry tea time is a gathering of maybe you and your family, or you and some friends, or you and your kid and their friends, and you just read poetry aloud to one another. That's really all it is. That's all. It is that simple.
Is that point number two?
Yes. Two, you don't have to use these, but food, drinks, and books of poetry.
Love it.
Any food or no food, any special drink or no drinks, you know, do what works.
Maybe I haven't been doing it wrong after all.
No, you haven't. I've done it with just spur of the moment. I pull a book out, like this morning, getting ready for the episode, and start reading poetry, and then just the kids come in. And then we laugh and enjoy the poems together. That was impromptu. I've done it where it's planned, and we have other kids over. We have a tablecloth and candles and muffins that we've made or bought, and tea they want to try, or hot chocolate or lemonade. So everything in between that counts. Okay, so third step, read and eat and drink. So the second step was gathering your things. Third step, do it.
Okay. And then I like you've broken this down for us well.
Thank you. Do you get the point that this is simple? Don't overthink this.
There were so many steps I was worried. Now I'm like, oh, okay.
The fourth step is laugh and make mistakes. Mm. Done. Check. Easy.
Very important, right? Though.
So bonus step, if you want to go there, if this is an event that's planned, maybe you could memorize a poem and recite it together. That is also fun. Takes a little bit of preparation, you know, but maybe that's something to do sometime. Okay. So let's do this thing. Are y'all ready?
So ready.
Yes. I have my ginger peach tea here.
I have my iced grapefruit matcha mate.
Nice. I've got some of my special coffee.
I wanted to put it like in a teacup with a saucer, but I wanted more tea than that. So I have a mug.
Teacups and saucers are always so small.
They are. I was like, I'm going to have to get up and I'm going to be clanging it all through the whole podcast. So I did us all a favor and did not do that.
And you have a special snack, Elizabeth.
I do. I have a little, it's called a super cookie, but it's like fake banana bread or real banana bread, probably, actually. Just packaged up for me.
Nice. I don't have a special treat today. Okay. So see, we did different things. Do what works. All right. So what we're going to do, we're going to take turns just reading a couple poems that we chose while we sip our tea and laugh and make mistakes. Trisha, do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first. So first, I have a poem, classic, from my pocketbook of romantic poetry by Lord Byron. So we'll go no more a-roving. So we'll go no more a-roving. So late into the night, though the heart be still as loving and the moon be still as bright. For the sword outwears its sheath and the soul wears out the breast and the heart must pause to breathe and love itself have rest. Though the night was made for loving and the day returns too soon, yet we'll go no more a-roving by the light of the moon.
Lovely.
See, wouldn't they read that in Jane Austen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They would.
I feel like that's very on point for you too, because you enjoy love stories. And so why would your poetry not be of similar nature?
Yes.
Which right, I think leans towards just look until you find the one you like. Yeah.
I have three short love poems by Rumi. This one is called I Have Become. I have become the owner of a land with no time and place. I have become the mystic of a treasure filled with gold. With a heart burning in the mother of pearl, I have become a sea of gracing souls.
Well, I love that. So much.
Yeah, I want to, that's the kind I want to read again and like think
yes.
about it.
Yeah. Oh, the first line, I like caught my breath like, oh, that's so good.
I've also learned that pretty much all of Rumi's poems are titled the first line. I don't know if he didn't title his poems, but that seems to be the thing.
Oh, so you can't like Google it then because it's going to all come up the first line?
I don't know. I mean, in the book, it looks as if it's a title, but the title is always just the first line of the poem.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
So anyway, I don't know. All those in love are ready. All those in love are ready to lose both worlds in one stroke. Let go of 100 years of life in one day. Travel 1,000 miles to experience a moment and lose 1,000 lives for the sake of one heart.
Mm.
Love is best when many sufferings arise from it. The one who avoids pain can't know love. A hero is one who in the journey of love surrenders his life with no qualms.
Amen. Mm. Beautiful.
And that
truth.
shows that I've been married to a 4 for 25 years. And my last one, I am going to share the poem that got me started commonplacing poetry that was at the end of a lovely meditation on acceptance. I can't find it.
Okay, guys, I need to insert here for one moment because I forgot to say something very important about how to do a poetry tea time.
There's another step.
So amid these very complicated steps, which were 1, do what works, 2, gather your supplies, 3, do it, and then 4, laugh and make mistakes, right? So you can actually do it a couple different ways when you get together. 1 requires preparation, 1 does not. So the way we did it today is the way that it requires preparation. So we've all come together with poems already chosen. Another way you can do it is you put your books you've gotten from the library, or like I always find great anthologies and other books of poetry at the Friends of the Library book sales. So I put my library books and the books I've bought, just put them on the table. And then everybody just takes one and flips through it. And when they see one they want to share, they just share it. So I wanted to put that out there. You can do it with preparation or without. Do what works.
But do it.
I found it. This is called The Avowal by Denise Levertov. As swimmers dare to lie face to the sky and water bears them, as hawks rest upon air and air sustains them, so would I learn to attain free fall and float into Creator Spirit's deep embrace, knowing no effort earns that all surrounding grace.
So that's the first one you wrote down, correct? I love that.
That's really nice.
I love it.
About letting go. All those catchphrases like letting go, letting God, give it to God.
So I have a question. Do you come back to that then? Or you think maybe you will? I guess you don't really know what you'll do with your commonplace journal once it's an older commonplace journal. But that'll be interesting to think about. No.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll look back and go, oh, I remember like why that mattered to me at the time. And it'll be interesting to see if it doesn't feel as poignant later.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So from the Essential Blake tiny book I got from the library, I found on the whole, I didn't love as much of his work as sometimes I'll kind of move through and I like almost all of it. And I would say of what I read, the minority of his works I enjoyed. And I don't know, I just didn't connect to him. It wasn't anything I could really say, but I loved this one. So this is Nurse's Song. When the voices of children are heard on the green and laughing is heard on the hill, my heart is at rest within my breast and everything is still. Then come home, my children, the sun has gone down and the dews of night arise. Come, come, leave off play, let us away till the morning appears in the skies. No, let us play, for it is yet still day, and we cannot go to sleep. Besides, in the sky the little birds fly, and the hills are covered with sheep. Well, go and play till the light fades away, and then go home to bed. The little ones leapt and shouted and laughed, and the hills all echoed.
I mean, that is just summertime for me.
Yes.
No, it's not dark yet. So I really loved that one. And then another one I liked. I feel like this is going to be a little cliche four-ish. Why was Cupid a boy? Why was Cupid a boy? Why? Let me start that one again. So we'll laugh and make mistakes here, guys.
That's right.
I read the title twice. This one is the title is the first line. So it doesn't read well like that. So I'll start again. Why was Cupid a boy, and why a boy was he? He should have been a girl for aught I can see. For he shoots with his bow, and the girl shoots with her eye. And they're both merry and glad, and laugh when we do cry. And to make Cupid a boy was the Cupid girl's mocking plan. For a boy can't interpret the thing till he has become a man. And then he's so pierced with cares and wounded with arrowy smarts. And the whole business of his life is to pick out the heads of the darts. 'Twas the Greek's love of war that turned love into a boy and woman into a statue of stone, and away flew every joy. I feel like that's a sad poem, but I liked it. You think that's sad? I feel like it is. It's like kind of negative, dreary feeling, but I liked it.
I didn't feel that way through most of it. Just, I guess, more the way it ended.
Yeah.
Made me feel that way. Who was the author?
That's Blake also. Well, the idea of a girl shoots starts with her eyes. Like,
yeah.
Okay, it probably is true.
That's funny. Yeah.
I also thought a theme that I just hit me as I was reading through these is both of these are men, but there are a lot of poems about women. And some of them are sweet and some of them are kind of speak to the power of women. So I don't know that they were necessarily, I mean, they're especially Blake too old to be of a feminist mindset, but maybe not. I don't know. It's interesting to think, what did this mean to them? Because that might not be what it means to me now. Kipling has a poem, which is long, so I won't read it here, but I wanted to mention it. The Female of the Species. And the whole poem talks about how the female of the species is far more deadly. Because his poems are often about animals. I mean, he wrote The Jungle Book. And so this one I'll share, The Way Through the Woods. I don't know why I'm being secretive about this. I'm going to share that when I read poetry, I have to put a piece of paper below it so I can really focus on one line at a time. And I read it better.
No,
which
I do
is
too.
Like a fourth grade trick, but I don't know why I was going to not share it with you. I'm not that impressive of a grown up, so I should just share it.
No, I okay. do that all the time.
You do? That's funny. Poetry I just thought it was
crows. Famous. Yes.
Yeah, I just think if I'm going to get any kind of rhythm to it, I have to really focus one line at a time. Okay, so this is Kipling again, and it is The Way Through the Woods. They shut the road through the woods 70 years ago. Weather and rain have undone it again, and now you would never know that there was once a road through the woods. Before they planted trees, it is underneath the coppice and heath and the thin anemones. Only the keeper sees that where the ring dove broods and the badgers roll at ease, there was once a road through the trees. And yet, if you enter the woods of a summer evening late, where the night air cools and the trout ring pools, where the otter whistles his mate, they fear not men in the woods because they see so few. You will hear the beat of a horse's hoof and the swish of a skirt in the dew, steadily cantering through the misty solitudes, as though they perfectly knew the old lost road through the woods. But there is no road through the woods. I just feel like time goes by, and did anyone even know this happened? Kind of that's a big thought in a little poem, you know?
Yeah.
I think that particularly struck me because I got to go to buy the house that my granddad was born into recently. And anybody who drives past that doesn't know that so many boys were born into that house and they all had children. It's just life is gone.
Yeah.
That's lovely. That has a clear, like I instantly see the connection to the great conversation with that one. It's just a little more upfront with it. Yeah, not good or bad. I'm just, it, you know, it's neat to get that connection.
Yeah, it's a call to remember the important things and to tell them to your children, but to also know that there will just be things that are forgotten, because for all of our importances that we feel we are fleeting.
Yeah. Well, those were lovely. Thank you. I have, my first one is a little bit long. It is called The Embarrassing Episode of Little Miss Muffet by Guy Wetmore Carroll. And this comes from the IEW memorization book. And this author has another one, because this is clearly fleshing out what really happened with the spider and Little Miss Muffet, right? He has another one called The Sycophantic Fox and the Gullible Raven. And it is also funny, and it is fleshing out an Aesop fable. I think it reminds me of one anyway.
Yeah.
So here is a little bit more insight into Little Miss Muffet's interaction with the spider. And there is a little pun at the end on the word way, W-H-E-Y and W-A-Y. Little Miss Muffet discovered a tuffet, which never occurred to the rest of us. And as 'twas a June day and just about noonday, she wanted to eat like the best of us. Her diet was whey, and I hasten to say, it is wholesome and people grow fat on it. The spot being lonely, the lady not only discovered the tuffet, but sat on it. A rivulet gabbled beside her and babbled, as rivulets always are thought to do. And dragonflies spotted around and cavorted, as poets say dragonflies ought to do. While glancing aside for a moment, she spied a horrible sight that brought fear to her. A hideous spider was sitting beside her and most unavoidably near to her. Albeit unsightly, this creature politely said, "Madam, I earnestly vow to you, I'm penitent that I did not bring my hat. I should otherwise certainly bow to you." Though anxious to please, he was so ill at ease that he lost all his sense of propriety and grew so inept that he clumsily stepped in her plate, which is barred in society. This curious error completed her terror. She shuddered and, growing much paler, not only left Tuffet, but dealt him a buffet, which doubled him up in a sailor knot. It should be explained that at this he was pained. He cried, "I have vexed you, no doubt of it. Your fist's like a truncheon. You're still in my luncheon," was all that she answered. "Get out of it!" And the moral is this, be it madam or miss, to whom you have something to say, you are only absurd when you get in the curd, but you're rude when you get in the way. So that's definitely something even littles who know that nursery rhyme with a little help can get the at least a lot of the humor in that.
That's really fun.
That is a fun one.
So my last one is A Song from the Suds by Louisa May Alcott. I did not know she wrote poetry. And I think this is one that I need to memorize to sometimes have a better attitude about duty. "Queen of my tub," I merrily sing, "while the white foam rises high, and sturdily wash and rinse and wring and fasten the clothes to dry. Then out in the free fresh air they swing under the sunny sky. I wish we could wash from our hearts and our souls the stains of the week away, and let water and air by their magic make ourselves as pure as they. Then on the earth there would be indeed a glorious washing day. Along the path of a useful life will heart's ease ever bloom. The busy mind has no time to think of sorrow or care or gloom, and anxious thoughts may be swept away as we busily wield a broom. I am glad a task to me is given to labor at day by day, for it brings me health and strength and hope, and I cheerfully learn to say, head you may think, heart you may feel, but hand you shall work always."
That's so sweet. Interesting. I had heard the last little clip of that. Head you may, what was that again? Head you may
think, heart you may feel,
but
hand you shall work always.
I had heard just that before.
Oh, neat. I like that. I've never read that before today. And I thought, okay, that's a good poem for me. I love that. And I love how she, while she is washing, she is thinking of it as a metaphor for deeper things. Mm-hmm. I love that so much. And I know a lot of you who are listening are maybe washing or doing laundry or your dishes. And so there's some wonderful thoughts for you as you go about your business.
Yay, poetry.
I need to share that our poetry tea time has given such Snow White vibes that there is a squirrel listening at the window. I took a picture during Amanda's poem because he's just like, the woodland creatures are coming up to hear the poems.
I love that.
It also might be because Nate feeds it, but it was just a pretty moment.
That's great. Well, I would be remiss if we have a poetry episode and I don't mention one last resource, which is actually a curriculum. It's called The Grammar of Poetry by Matt Whitling, and it has helped me so much love poetry more and more. It's just wonderful. It's geared for middle grades, but I learned so much from it when I led a class with Bryce and his crew, and I hope to do that with my other two as well. So it was just wonderful. I cannot recommend it enough. It has a fantastic appendix in the back of a list of poems in order chronologically by the subject that it talks about. So if you're like, oh, we're studying World War I, or I'm thinking about World War I, and what are some poems? This has,
well, that's interesting.
This book has a list. Yeah. Can't recommend it enough. Okay. Well, thank you so much for listening to our little poetry tea time. And I hope you get that it is just as simple as it can be, or it can be as fancy as you want it to be. Do what works. And we would love it if you want to join in to our poetry tea time. In the post for this episode, in the comments, you can leave a video of you or your child or your spouse or multiple videos from your family of you reading a poem to us or reciting a poem to us that you love. And then you can be part of our poetry tea time in that way. I can't wait to see what you choose and listen to them.
So exciting.
So don't forget, if you can come, register for Book Fair Weekend.
And until next time, I'm Trisha.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Elizabeth.
And happy poetry reading. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this, subscribe to Book Fair Podcast.
Join our private Facebook group. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, or email us at chat@bookfairpodcast.com.
And you can help us continue to grow. Share an episode with a friend, mention us on social media, and leave a review in your podcast app. We'll see you next Tuesday.